I believe I do.
Why? You have now seen a picture of the beast. Do you not agree it looks as though it is the spawn of hell?
First, all I've seen is a drawing. And yeah, it's but ugly, but I think we can leave the red-faced bastard with the pitchfork and pointed ears out of the game, Soto. I've seen this kind of shit before. Screamwings, stickies, dwellers, swampies, all kinds of muties. Some of them humanoid, and others throwbacks to a world before man ever came crawling out of the muck. Back in the Deathlands, we brought hell down on ourselves. From what I've learned in recent years, we're the ones responsible for most of the horrors that now walk, crawl, or slither on the surface of this mudball.
The world has always been a most dangerous place, Senor.
Maybe. Ryan wiped the sweat from under his chin. Wish Mildred was here. She'd probably do a better job of explaining about mutations.
Is there more than one?
Oh, yes.
How many?
10, 20, 100. I have no way of knowing for sure how many. I would say the number is low due to the rarity of earlier sightings here. But now it must be growing, since the attacks have increased. Little is left in the way of livestock, so they've gone the extra step of killing men for their needed blood. 17 of us are dead so far. A little girl was attacked and drained just a few days ago.
I would hope the number of El Chupacabras is low. A few of us here have seen them, but I must wonder at the truth of what witnesses have said.
You think they're lying?
No. They have indeed seen something, but stories conflict. The truths do not match. One young boy said the two chupacabras he saw were floating in the air in total silence. The spines along their backs were vibrating at incredible speeds, and all of the colors of the rainbow were generated in an aura around their bodies, which in turn caused them to blank and fall unconscious.
That's triple crazy.
So why haven't your men gone and killed the things? Don't you have a group of sect men to enforce the peace?
There is no government or police force here. People are trying to survive the best way they know how, and we do so together. All is shared.
But there are few willing to fight what many think to be a creature from hell, Senor Cotter. I and Soto are the only two who will take up weapons. But we have little experience in such affairs.
And you think I do?
Yes.
And all I have to base my decision on to help out is a yarn about a blood-sucking demon and a pencil drawing of an overgrown bat. Not much to go on.
Lover, can I talk to you alone?
Ryan stood up and Christy followed.
We'll be right back.
Dean sat alone at the table with the two Puerto Rican men.
So, you guys ever hear of a game called Cootie?
Outside the cafe, in the blinding hot sun, Christy took Ryan's hand and squeezed it, pulling him along to a patch of shade beside the brick exterior.
Sounds wild, doesn't it?
Not really, compared to the shit we're used to wading into back in the Deathlands. A vampire goat demon is tame. It could be wrong, you know. Old folk tales dreamed up to explain a rash of deaths.
Yeah, but there's something in the telling. I don't think these guys are lying. Whatever this chupacabras is, it has them scared.
Guess Puerto Rico isn't such an island paradise after all.
Guess not. You going to help them?
Possibly. I want to get JB's and Mildred's input on this. Doc's and Jack's, too.
I say we should try and do what we can, within reason.
Why? There's nothing in it for us. Could be an easy way of getting chilled chasing around an angry bloodsucker.
He did mention children, Ryan. I won't have dead children on my conscience.
By the time Ryan, Christy, and Dean returned to the fortress, night had fallen. Retiring to their quarters after yet another spectacular meal, courtesy of Jamais Vu, Ryan explained to the others about the encounter with Soto and Jorge. All agreed to return to the streets of Old San Juan the next day, even Doc, who had been told earlier by Jamais Vu that his assistance in the Matrans chamber wouldn't be needed for the next 24 hours. They had arrived to find Soto and Jorge at the site of their first meeting in the two-story building with the beautiful back garden, where the story of El Chupacabras was told again. Now, even more questions were being asked, not only about murderous mutants that struck in the night, but also regarding Dr. Silas Jamais Vu.
When Jamais Vu showed up, how did he end up taking residence in the fortress?
Us locals, we had no interest in staying there. He called and drafted the fort made of stone had little or no appeal. Only after the doctor arrived and figured out how to reactivate the electricity did El Moro live again. It is said he has unlimited power at his fingertips. One would wish him to share his bounty, but he keeps all electrical energy within his own walls.
It's a wonder he hasn't been chilled.
A few hold grudges. This is why he employs guards. One or the other of them is always at his side. Some men and women who have grown close to the Doctor have entered the fortress and have never been seen as San Juan again.
Almost sounds like he's some kind of slave owner or overseer. Surprised you put up with it.
Puerto Rico has a history of being overseen, Señor Ryan.
Going back to these chupacabras, why the need for blood?
Well, maybe there's some kind of offshoot of the Cornelius family. Soto, they were a bizarre sect of scientifically created vampires we encountered in the Bayou country south of Lafayette. They supposedly needed the specific DNA in human blood to survive. At least that's what they told us. I never quite did get a good understanding of what drove their engines.
The concept of ingesting DNA through human blood to survive is ridiculous. And I agree with you, Ryan. There was more going on with those poor bastards than met the eye. If I'd had more time and inclination, I might have figured out what drove them after human blood so relentlessly. I don't think it was just biological. I think they got some kind of sick thrill out of playing vampire.
Doc wiped at his overheated brow with his kerchief.
While I scoff at the notion, one can find an historical precedent within a supernatural context.
This I've gotta hear.
Doc frowned, hefting his sword stick and pointing the tip at the dubious Mildred.
You should cease and desist with the eye-popping and lip-smacking. Such overblown, exaggerated movements, Dr. Wyeth, make you look foolish, not I. Right now, you put me in mind of a poor pickaninny forced to perform in the confines of an old minstrel show. I half expected you to break into an arm-swinging tap dance in hopes of being thrown a penny.
That tears it! I like you better when you're a moron. I'm amazed to hear myself saying this, but you're less annoying when you don't have a brain in your head.
JB reached out a hand to lightly brush the back of Mildred's plaited hair.
Come on now. What's got into you, Millie? He's up.
The physician was having no soothing from her man, and she spun on one heel to make an exit, away from the men and into the house.
Supposedly people are dying while we talk about evil spirits and freaks and vampire capes. I don't have to stand around listening to this garbage. If I want to hear this crap, I can pull out an endless supply of moldy old Stephen King novels.
Ryan, sitting on one of the deep window sills in the outer wall of the home, decided to finally interject.
Go ahead, Doc. Speak your mind.
The older man stuck a hand in one of the pockets of his coat and held the left lapel with the other, assuming a more formal stance before picking up the threads of his tale.
Blood, Ryan Corder, is the crimson elixir of the gods and their followers. The mortal blood of man has always been a liquid offering of significant value and importance to those who watch us from above or below.
The gods have abandoned us, Señor Tanner. That is one answer.
I don't believe that. And neither should you.
6 months ago, a man riding a bicycle came upon a single chupacabra at the side of a road. Fearing for his life, he pulled a blaster, a six-shot revolver, and fired at the monster. 6 shots were unleashed, and the monster was not harmed.
Maybe he missed.
Jorge gave him an annoyed look, then refigured his handsome face into a wan smile.
At a distance of less than 20 feet, I can assure you I did not miss, Señor Cotter.
Okay, fair enough. What I don't understand is why you haven't done anything about these muties sooner.
As I said before to Señor Cotter, there has been no reason. Our livestock was being attacked, but the occasional lost chicken or goat was an acceptable loss. Grupo, he stayed up night after night, his weapon held between his legs as he hid under a pile of straw and watched intently in his coop for the creature who had been killing his poultry.
What happened to him?
One night, Grupo found his murderer and fell prey to the beast himself. His son found him the next morning, soon after sunrise, when he ventured out to collect the morning eggs. Like the other animals, his father had 2 puncture wounds on his neck. All of the blood had been drained from his body.
Grupo was the first. Many now think the chupacabras had been content with the blood of animals, until testing the life fluid of man.
Uh-huh.
You do not believe me?
I didn't say that. Seen enough in my time not to discount what anybody tells me, till I check the situation out for myself. You want to tell me muty fruit bats, or blood-sucking earthworms, or even talking palm trees are running around Puerto Rico and tearing up the neighborhood? Fine. I'll take your word for it, but still want to see some proof.
As do I.
Everyone turned to see Mildred at the doorway.
Proof. You want proof? Visit the cemetery. Ask for your proof from the recently departed dead.
Mildred stepped forward with a frown.
Yeah, let's do that.